This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 13th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. The coronavirus is spreading, and some countries have been trying out new technology or repurposing old tech to try and cut down on new cases. Our Korea Bureau Chief, Tim Martin, will join us from Seoul, South Korea, to explain how they're doing it and whether it's working. That's after these headlines. We've spoken on this podcast about the debate over whether to use facial recognition software. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union has sued several federal agencies over their use of the technology. The Department of Homeland Security has been using facial recognition to identify people entering the U.S. through airports, even partnering with airlines to swap boarding passes for face scans. So far, that's impacted as many as 20 million people. Officials say the technology can help shorten airport lines and catch imposters who might be traveling with someone else's passport. But the ACLU is concerned that could be a slippery slope towards more invasive surveillance. They want the DHS and other agencies to turn over documents about how the surveillance was used, including information about contracts with airlines. The Federal Communications Commission has earmarked $16 billion to improve internet services for people in rural areas. And Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, wants some of that money. Records show SpaceX has convinced the FCC to apply policy changes which would improve the company's chances of winning some of those federal funds. The change comes over objections from competitors who say that SpaceX's satellite-based technology is still unproven. And longtime Amazon executive Maria Rentz is leaving the e-commerce giant after more than 20 years. She joined the company in 1999 when it was just 5 years old. Rentz spent several years as CEO Jeff Bezos' technical advisor. She most recently served as Amazon's vice president of delivery experience. She'll be moving to the fintech startup Social Finance, according to people familiar with the matter, where she'll lead the company's credit card, brokerage, and bank account businesses. After the break, some countries are using new applications of technology as they fight the spread of the coronavirus. That's next. Countries affected by the coronavirus have been using traditional tactics to try and cut down on new cases, quarantining sick people, canceling mass public events, putting whole regions and even countries on lockdown. But some countries in the Asia-Pacific region are also putting technology to the test to try to stop the virus. Here to tell us more about it is our Korea Bureau Chief, Tim Martin, joining us from Seoul, South Korea. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
All right. So this is a technology podcast. We want to hear about some of the tech that these countries are using to stop or fight the virus.
Yeah, I mean, the virus first emerged out here in the region. So you have things like China. The police are wearing thermal goggles to catch people by in the street. And if that doesn't work, they are flying drones that have thermal sensors that can actually identify someone with a fever. You know, one of the really interesting applications of technology and coronavirus, which might only be able to enroll in China, is this one of their major tech companies, Baidu, that basically took its AI algorithms and image sensing expertise and overlaid that with the Beijing subway CCTVs. And you add those two together, and it allowed the government to identify passengers who did not wear face masks. And while in the US, face masks are still getting off the ground, they're quite common across Asia. And someone who's not wearing one, it's believed they could be a spreader of the virus. So instead of having people try to do this work with their eyeballs, they're letting technology and the AI do it for them. In South Korea, where I'm at, government has produced an app that is intended to monitor people in quarantine. And in Australia, they have a coronavirus chatbot. It's called Sam. It's a chatbot for general health questions, and the health ministry there had recommended people who had concerns about coronavirus to ask the chatbot. So we did, and our spelling of coronavirus, one word, was not detected by Sam at first. Sam spells it with two words, and eventually the government told us we're working on it. We'll hopefully improve it soon. And I think, you know, look, some of this technology, it's obviously a new infectious disease and on a new scale. Some of this is well, most of it is existing technology being repurposed for the virus fight. It's still not quite clear yet if this is in totality just a bunch of gimmicks or if these could be game changers.
Yeah, I mean, you just talked about the fact that that app wasn't really working well. Have other tools been effective in the area to kind of mitigate this virus?
I think some of the most effective uses of technology are mirrors of how technology just in the general, you know, business or life are working. So, you know, we see automation in big data crunching with some of the coronavirus patient results, or even just the tests themselves. That's something that in other countries is done manually with people, but in a select number of countries, they have the ability to throw it up to the cloud. I guess one could look at Singapore as an example. They're actually having citizens use QR code scanners to willingly and on a volunteer basis show where they're going. So for instance, college students could scan a QR code to show they're walking into a university classroom, for instance. And this is to help build a digital archive or audit, if you will, of where a person has been, just in case they do catch coronavirus. And if that's the case, we're seeing this now in the US with contact tracing and disease detectives going around trying to reverse engineer where someone has been. Some of this is fully embracing technology in Asia, and I'd say it's definitely been a help.
That's almost like a voluntary example of what China was doing as a mandatory, right? I mean, they were able to track their citizens' movements because they already were scanning them when they went to take a train or when they went to take a subway, right?
Right. Coronavirus is like a decade after the last major global, you know, health scare, right? The H1N1 virus. And smartphones weren't as prevalent then. So certainly in China, we've seen this, I guess one could describe as innovative approach in tracking down where people had been recently through their phone. Your phone obviously knows where you've been, and if you've made mobile transactions with it, it's known where you're spending your money, what public transportation you're taking. So yeah, this is a major use of technology to help do something that would have been much trickier in the past. It would have relied on face-to-face interviews, people's memories. They're not always perfect. And some of that technique seen in China has been replicated elsewhere in the region. Singapore, South Korea in particular, have tapped smartphone location as part of their strategy.
I'm interested in thinking about how this could be replicated in other countries. I mean, we're kind of looking at countries that have a high level of surveillance built into their countries already, and or in the case of Singapore, a government that is very used to giving out very clear-cut mandatory demands, like not chewing gum and having people follow them. I'm wondering about how we're seeing these kind of tech-savvy techniques be used in places like Europe. We're seeing cases balloon in Italy and Germany, and whether or not in areas where that kind of surveillance is not allowed, we're going to have a different situation.
Yeah, I think this is I don't think you've seen the same techniques first pioneered, if you will, in Asia, used yet in Europe or the US. The experts we've talked to, as we've written and reported about these methods, many people in Western Europe and the US say that this would definitely not be legal, or at least would be politically unviable to crack open a coronavirus patient's smartphone data. So to the extent this type of reverse engineering can be replicated elsewhere, I think will be something that lawmakers and probably lawyers have to sort out.
All right. Korea Bureau Chief Tim Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
This was fun.
And that was your tech news briefing. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. From all of us at The Wall Street Journal, stay healthy and thanks for listening.